Okay. I'm going to start the next parak, Parak Ches. I'm going to tie in the first part of the parak with the Hamshacha to what we discussed yesterday. Shlomo Melech says, Shema mitzvah lo yeda dovoro u'mishpat yudeh leiv chocham. Shema mitzvah lo yeda dovoro. Somebody does a mitzvah, lo yeda dovoro, he won't know of a bad thing. It's a little bit of a strange lashon. Shema mitzvah lo yeda dovoro. Obviously, and a simple way to explain it is, if you really, shema, it's like shluchei mitzvah in izakin. If you're busy working for the Rabbanu Shalom, nothing bad is going to happen to you. It's like the concept of Shluchei Mitzvah in Izok. Similar concept. But if you look in the Gemara in Shabbos seems to learn it differently. First of all, the facts are not that way. The facts are there are many tzaddikim who do gevaldig things, maisim toivim and everything. And they have a rough time. It seems they have a rough time. Birch Samozen, we say, right, what do we say at the end of benching? Naro Yisi Gamzo Kanti, for Loigo Yisi Tzadik Nezov. I never saw a tzadik that's forsaken. Vizari Mavakish Lochem. And his children are looking for food. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is that true? How many knocks on the door do your parents get every single day? Never got that? You ever try that? It would be a good etzah for a mishulch. Guy knocks on the door. He says, big Tamil Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Tamil Chacham at Tzadik. He has seven kids. They don't have what to eat. Say, can't be. Open up your bencher. Now you see Gamzo Kanti. The lawyer you see Tzadik Nezo Vizayim Mevakish Lochem. Sorry, Colt, I'll give you a drink if you'd like. But it's a good time to know. Did you ever hear somebody going around collecting for somebody in Eretz Yisrael who's not a Talmud Chacham in a Rosha? Collecting for a Rosha in Eretz Yisrael who's an Amoretz. Can you help him out? I never got such a request. Ever. It's always a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham at Tzadik is a Blanchol Kedosh. So I don't have to pull out of Kiveg, open up a bencher. Nara Yisi Gamzo Kanti, Veloyo Yisi Tzadik Nezov. Vizayim Avakish Lochem. You tell me his kids don't have food? Good time, you know? So what's the answer? So Shlomo HaMelech seems to be saying along the same line. Shlomo Mitzvah, he didn't have a lot. Somebody Shlomo Mitzvah, you won't have to worry about anything. Everything is going to be good. If you look in the Gemara, the Gemara brings the same concept in Maseches Shabbos Daf Samach Gimel. The same concept, a little bit differently. The Gemara says, "Omer Abchinen Nebaridi Kol Oisim Mitzvah K'mamora." Somebody does a mitzvah mamish properly, wholesomely. Says the Gemara, "Ein Mevaser Noisay B'Siris Rois." He won't have any bad news. He won't have bad news. Zoktel. Shenema Shemer Mitzvah lo yeda adovora. Somebody's a Shemer Mitzvah, he won't hear bad news. Black and white. Black and white in the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Samach Gimel. That if somebody does a mitzvah b'mamorei, does it properly, he won't have bad news. And the Gemara is using this pasuk here in Koheles, Shemer Mitzvah, as a source. He won't have a source rise. Besuris Rois? Tzaddikim never have Besuris Rois? What's in the world going on here? What's up, Pshat? I'm going to tell you a very creative machshove, which I can't tell you is emes, but I can tell you it's a machshove I have, and it's Yehimun HaChatshiyov Elio, whether this is one of the true Pshatim in the Mon. But we find a very interesting thing about the Mon. On the one end, we find that the mon is the most gashmiistic of bread food possible. Because the bottom line is, you could go into the most expensive restaurant, right? You could go into a restaurant where you have to pay $300-$400 for a meal, and you're not going to find five people that want the same meal. So the guy next to me is ordering a steak. I rather don't like steak. Rather I do. I'm just saying, Lamosha. I don't like steak. So I order the corned beef. The other guy over there, he likes expensive piece of salmon. He orders himself a $250 piece of salmon. Everybody has. There isn't a restaurant in the world with the best chef. Right? The chef is getting $1 million a year to sit in the kitchen and cook food. You're not going to find a chef that has a food there in the kitchen that makes everybody happy. Because this guy has this taste, this guy has that, this guy wants that, he wants that, the other thing. The mun was the most mugushim dick of food in the world. It was the most unbelievable food that existed. Comes the Yalkut Shemoini, Hamon Yorad Bamidbor Aboim Shona. For 40 years, first of all, the kitchen was open for 40 years. Where do you have a place where the kitchen's open for 40 years? Hamon Yorad Aboim Shona. The mon tasted like whatever, or every flavor, every taste, every consistency. The place can even have a shayla. It's not negeh l'haloche, because it's not negeh anymore. We don't have mon today. But the place can have an interesting shayla. When somebody had a machshov about the mon, did a taka become that? Or did it just taste like that? So the moshel, let's say a guy wants a cheeseburger. You're not allowed to have a cheeseburger. Right? You could make a magic one. But you can't have a real cheeseburger. Yeah? So somebody would, let's say, wake up in the morning and go, you know, I want a cheeseburger. He has kavane that this mon should taste like a cheeseburger. With the whole thing, the bun, with the melted cheese, with the geschmack burger. Juicy, double decker. You know the double decker? You know, the McDonald's double-decker? Okay. Looks ganz geschmack. Yeah. You're not supposed to say it looks disgusting. Chazal say you're supposed to say it looks geschmack, but we're not allowed to have it. So a guy with the mun, take out the mun, say, oh, finally, a cheeseburger. It's a kavon and mamish with the whole thing, with the clown serving him, the ganzamais. What all did he do? Yeah? So the place came out of Shaila. Maybe you're not allowed to do that, because then when you eat it, you're over basa b'chol. Because taka turned into that. Turned into that. So if a guy would have in mind it should be a piece of pig, piece of ham, maybe he's not allowed to do it because now it turns into ham. Or no, mon is mon. Grade has that taste. That the Gemara says in Chulin, that you can always find something that's usher to eat. You'll find something similar in a kosher food. Like when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was learning Alz Bacha, they came up with soy. Then soy was a new thing. Now everybody knows about soy. But then soy was, that's how old I am, could you imagine? Soy was new. So they opened up a new burger place in Yerushalayim. You could have cheeseburgers with soy. And we were so excited, my friends were mamish, they wanted me to come with them to during lunch. I wasn't that excited about going, but they convinced me. So I went with the old chabuah. And I was feeling a little bad, like I was remembering the Gemara in Chulin that everything that's also the Torah has something that's muta, has the same taste. And then I sat down. If I cleared what bracha to make and everything, I realized afterwards that the real bracha I should have made on it was Asher Yotzah. Tastes like nothing. Tasted like from another place. Not, it didn't taste from. I realize there's no Shaila, there's no Marzayin, there's no Maris Tam, there's nothing. There's nothing about it that's any similar. But the mon, you were mamish able to get the exact taste. Exact taste. So on the one end, we see that the mon was a spitz gashmias, the most gashmiastic of food. You're able to think whatever you want. Yeah. On the other hand, Chazal tell us that the mon is a ruchniastic of bread. It's totally spiritual. totally spiritual. Chazal tell us that the malachim are nizayin from the mon. Chazal, the Bnei Yisachar brings down, because the shayla and the poskim, what bracha they made on the mon. Right? What bracha they make on the mon? Some old, they made a bracha hamotzi lechem in Hashemayim. The Yisachar couldn't make hamotzi lechem in Oretz. Some old, they made hamotzi lechem. The Bnei Yisachar says, no bracha was needed. Because this is like heavenly bread. It wasn't Horetz, not some of the Yodim. It didn't need a bracha at all. But the Medrash says that whatever you wanted, it tasted like it. Unbelievable. Noiravoya. So what was the man? Gashmi is a ruchnis. What was it? Rabbi said, I think the pshat here is like this, to make a long story short, because we don't have time. To make a long story short, I'll tell you it's like this. It ties very much to what we spoke about yesterday. Yesterday we spoke about, with Shadim and the whole thing, that if you have unused potential, you're miserable. Right? And many, many people came to me afterwards and told me they know exactly what I mean. They felt that feeling from time to time. Unused potential. But the emphasis is like this. The Rabbanu Shalom gave every person the ability to satisfy themselves. Right? Most of the time, when you have a desire for something, it's coming from, when you have a burning desire for something, it's coming from another place. Meaning you're unhappy with something in life. You're unhappy, so mainly you need this, you need that. Sometimes you see these people, right, they're constantly getting the latest gadgets. Now they come up, yesterday they unveiled iPhone 10. All glass. It's gewaldic. All glass. Mamish, you could break it on all sides. Imagine how many cracked skins. Copstick could make a panos and mikana shiovigil tzedek. Yeah? You could fix the front and then the back, and then by the time you finish the back, you fix the front again. It's gewaldic. It's all glass. No longer do you have to put your finger on it that it should recognize you. You just look at it. Pale, pale, dapper boy. Aspakal yamir, take a glass, mamish. Nevuas moishir abdeino. Right? With all the latest tzatzkalach. So there was a guy, a journalist, who said, he buys every single Apple product. Tachas atapuach erartich. Every Apple product, when it comes out. They're saying, you know how expensive it is now? The phone is $1,000. Now, any normal sugar is going to buy the phone without Apple care. Which is that they cover it in case it breaks, because otherwise you're buying a glass phone for $1,000 that has no coverage. So you get Apple Care, that's another $200. Then taxes. By the time you finish, you're walking out close to $1,500 for your luchas. Yeah? Close to. So this journalist was questioned, how can you afford to buy every Apple product? He says, I must have it, I can't afford it. But every Apple product comes out, I buy and I kill myself over it. And he's never happy. Soon he's going to have a phone that he could look at and it recognizes him. He's still not going to be happy. He'll wait for iPhone 11 or 12 or 15 or 16, whatever. One that hits you back. You know? You can get into a fight with it even. It's gewaldic. That would be geschmack. You look at it and it goes, I'm not opening up for you. Yeah. Then you have to debate it. And if you win the debate, it turns on. And if you lose the debate, it shuts off for a week. Gewaldig, tell me that. See, I just made a new phone. Was it a pshat? Somebody who's happy doesn't need all the tchatchkalach. Somebody who's not happy, there's no end. And they find in addictions, all kinds of addictions, whether it's chas v'sholom, people who need to, they drug themselves. So you have people that are, they eat, or they're drunk, or whatever their addiction is. They find all of these people have something they're not happy about. Okay? So it's an escape. Not happy. So I got to find something else. This. If you're not happy, nothing makes you happy. If you're happy, everything makes you happy. You understand? If you're happy, everything makes you happy. If you're not happy, nothing makes you happy. They have a guy who weighs 1,000 pounds. He's cool. He has an eating disorder. Doesn't have an eating disorder. His eating is compensating for other issues that he has. A gesunder Mensch doesn't eat till the Achigo the Goel Tzedek. There's something wrong. It's not just filling him up. There's something else going on that's cooking up over there. Right? The guy doesn't get drunk every night if they're happy people. The guy gets drunk every night, means there's a problem. The pshat is that when a person has inner happiness, inner shlemus, then everything else becomes unimportant. Everything else becomes unimportant. How many times did I tell you this mushel? And I hold it's such a true mushel that you go to a simcha, okay? Who notices everything by the simcha? The party planner, people that come to the chasana, okay? Who eats all the food by a simcha? The yeshiva bachra, right? The Baal Simcha, very often, will be able to tell you at the end of the night that he didn't eat anything. The guy who married off his daughter, he could tell you, the Chosin Kala may tell you they didn't, maybe they ate Nihichadun, but the yeshiva guy will tell you the six different types of meats there were, or the cut, and which cut he got, and the piece of kishka, that kishka, not that kishka, the parva one, the milchika one, the real liver, the fake liver, the half-fake liver, what's pshat? Because the person who's making the simcha is so happy about the simcha that they have no time to focus on the narishkeit. Well, I'm going to go to a chap, and talk, if you saw a chosin by the chasme, you saw him walking around the shmorg, looking around for the right cut of meat, you'd say, something wrong with the chosin. He obviously doesn't like the kala. Because if the kala meant enough to him, he wouldn't be looking for the corned beef. Right? If a chosin got married in the first night of the chasna, they come back home together, and the chosin's looking up in a catalog where he could buy a new pair. I know today there's no catalogs. My days, there's new catalogs. Look at a catalog for a pair of shoes. And the kala says, you maybe want a chapish. He said, God, I need a pair of shoes. Something very wrong. Why? He should be enough involved in the simcha. Who cares if he needs a pair of shoes? Now you're not thinking about a pair of shoes. It's not negeya. It's not negeya. That's the yisoid. So the more you have satisfaction from something real, the less you need satisfaction from stupidities. And the more you're not happy with life, the more you need all kinds of other things to compensate, and it will never help you. You'll never be satisfied. You'll find something to distract yourself. It'll make you feel a little better at the time, 100%. The guy who's drunk is smiling. The other guy who's high, he looks happy. I think it looks weird, but okay. You know, some people call it happy. You know, whatever. Guy looks good. What do you want? Gvaldik. Yeah, I don't think it looks so gvaldik, but okay. It's a temporary relief. That's the insight. The mon, Klal Yisrael, the Oichle Hamon in the Midbar, they were on such an elevated level, they felt the bread came straight from Shemayim. What did the Yoyna tell Noach? The Yoyna told Noach, I rather have food bitter like honey, like an olive, and I don't need from a bus of Adam. I don't want to be fed by you in the Tevim. What does that mean? The Yoyna was able to say, I'd rather be fed by Hashem. Whatever I get, I'm happy with. I'd much rather that than be fed by you. Better stuff. What does that mean? The Yoyna was so happy with its connection. Bullshit. Anybody who's a bar mila, any person who's a ben Torah, if you give them a choice, you say, you know what? Here, you have a choice. You can either sit in a restaurant to have a steak now, you can schmack a steak, or right this minute, go out to Reb Chaim's available, and he's having supper there, tuna fish, and think of the worst food that you hate. Tuna fish with dietetic mayonnaise, with string beans. That's supper. But you could spend a half hour with Reb Chaim. And he's going to schmooze with you, not just bua. He'll have a schmooze with you. For a half hour, you're going to schmooze with Reb Chaim. Okay? So any guy's a ben Torah, he doesn't have to be Bob Madrigal. If a guy goes there, I'm going for the steak. See, there's something wrong with the guy. Not he's bad. It's Rachmanasan. It's a pity. So I'm on his son. It's bullshit like that. So that's the way life is. The more you have a real simcha, the less you need fake simcha. So when Klal Yisrael ate the manna, they felt the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They felt Hashem is giving them this food in their hands. So anything they could have possibly wanted, they were satisfied with. They thought of the best food they'd want to eat, they felt satisfied from this. So when we say it had every taste, meaning it quenched every desire that they could have had. Because it was an elevated achila. That answers the question I asked you. Is the mon gashmias or ruchnias? Elu ve'elu de'velkim chayim. Because if you have spit satisfaction, you're satisfied. A true tzaddik, who's absorbed, and that's how I explained to you, if you remember Rabbi Yochanan, how did Rabbi Yochanan live his life and not feel all the tzaras that came his way? Because he was on a higher level. And that's why when Rish Lakish died, and he didn't have a Talmud who was keeping him in learning, then he felt all his other tzaras. He lost his children, all his other tzaras. Now you see Gamza Kanti. The lawyer is he tzaddik nezav. I never saw a tzaddik who feels lost. He's not lost. His kids are not walking around going, we're lost. They're macabre their lot in life because they have something that's so much more important. It's so much more important. And that's the reason why, that's the pshat. Shoyma mitzvah l'yeda davarah means, if somebody taka does a mitzvah b'shleimus, everything else in the world is unimportant. If you're really doing a mitzvah b'shleimus, everything else in the world becomes less important. And that's the pshat. It doesn't say he won't have bad stuff. L'yeda. What does l'yeda mean? He won't notice it. You will say it's a davara. You look at him and go, that's bad. But he doesn't look at it that way. He doesn't look at it like a davara. You may. That's the pshat. Not pshat. You, Taka, saying it is a problem. He's saying it's not a problem. And like I said, I'm not telling you big chiddush, because if you look in life, you'll see what I'm telling you is 100% true. That when somebody is spitz happy, all the narishkeiten mean nothing to them. Because I have my spitz happiness. And that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara says if two people have shalom bayis, if two people love each other and they're happy with each other, they could live on top of a needle. And there's enough room. What does the Gemara mean? They'll be comfortable? Does the Gemara mean that if the couple is living in this on top of this bima, they're going to go, oh, it's so roomy and luxurious? No, but they're happy. And if the couple is not getting along, and I dealt with people like that, they could be living in a 10,000 square foot mansion. They're not happy. That's a metzias. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh is lost in the Parashas B'chukoi says, if people would really feel the Mesikas HaTorah, people would feel the sweetness of Hoyu Mishtagimala, they would go crazy from it. It would take them over. That does Ok Shleim HaMelech. The more you're a Shleim HaMitzvah, the more Loyeh the Gavara. The more the Ruchnius means to you, the less you'll notice all the stupidities in life. Stupidities in life won't make such a big difference to you. Because you have something that's much better. You have something that's much more important, much more choshev. That's the issue. And I think that's the lesson that's being brought out here. Okay.
So the key is to how do you get...